Coaches, there's no greater investment that you can make than investing in your athletes. Developing them into better people then in turn will help them be better athletes. See, it always starts with character. Character is the difference maker. And for us, within our coaches membership, we want to develop the character in your athletes, which then in turn will improve their leadership to help drive you closer to winning. And our coaches membership is the tool that will unpack and unleash that for your team. Join the thousands of teams around the country. If you're not a member, make sure you don't go into another season without becoming one. Check out our coaches membership. It gives you everything you need to develop your athletes into the leaders needed to win. Let's get started.
You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast, powered by Chick-fil-A.
Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. Today, Kyle, we're jumping into emotional intelligence and how it needs to be a common theme for us as coaches as we are continuing to lead our teams. And it also needs to be a common theme for them, the players. And a lot of times this term emotional intelligence is one that a lot of coaches aren't thinking about. They're familiar with it to some degree, but they've never brought it into the coaching community. And really what has brought me into this conversation in a heavy way over the last couple of years is for those and anyone that follows me on social sees that not only do I get the opportunity to lead the Lead 'Em Up organization, but also teach down at Towson University. Towson is a university in Maryland, third largest college in Maryland behind Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland. And in there, teaching in their Leadership Institute. Now, this is not for students, Kyle. The institute is designed for professionals. So organizations all throughout the Baltimore-Washington region send their staff to the institute, and we get to engage them in training. Now, one of the things I teach down there is an entire day workshop seminar on emotional intelligence. And the more you unpack the themes of emotional intelligence, the more you begin to realize, I don't know how we lead our teams without this common theme of emotional intelligence. When we really look at just the bare bones of it, it's our ability to manage one's emotions and then also lead to others' emotions as well. When you think about emotional intelligence, Kyle, it's four quadrants that really break down. And if you study it, if you read Daniel Goleman's emotional intelligence, he really was the initiator of emotional intelligence. There's four quadrants. Those four components are self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and then relationship management. So self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. Now, those four quadrants are unique in the sense that you can work on them all independently, yet they are also interconnected. So you can work on self-awareness, you can work on self-management, but self-awareness and self-management are also connected, right? In fact, working on self-awareness is a futile exercise if you don't also work on self-management. So for example, if I know I get little sleep, or when I get little sleep, I am easily annoyed and my patience is short. So my awareness is great. Awesome. But if I can't actually manage that, then all it is a predictor into future failures, right?
Yeah.
It's me saying, hey, Kyle, when I don't sleep well, right, I get really grumpy and irritated and I will snap on you. I'm aware of that. Okay, well, now do something about it. Manage yourself, okay? So
put it in the place.
Yeah, so it's independent, these four quadrants, but they're also interconnected. And Kyle, this theme of emotional intelligence, I really want through this episode to challenge coaches to begin leaning into this theme of emotional intelligence, to spend more time researching and pouring into it, because it will really be the game changer for us in leadership.
Absolutely. It always goes to the phrase and the saying that you can't effectively lead others unless you can first effectively lead yourself. And so as these quadrants all play into one another, you know, we can kind of start to see the alignment of what needs to happen. So for us as coaches, when we're able to become self-aware and we can manage the things that are needed in our lives for us to be able to show up and lead at a high level, then I think we're able to show up at our best for our athletes. And this is a challenge, you know, for anyone, but especially for the younger athletes that are out there that we're leading. So if we can lean into it and we can live it out at a higher level, then we're going to be able to really help our athletes that much better.
Yeah, I mean, so let's start with the top half of the quadrant. So once again, there's four components, but they are split top to bottom, right? Self-awareness and self-management are on the top half of it. And this all works to yourself, okay? So social awareness and relationship is about external others. Self-awareness, self-management is internal about us. Self-awareness, being connected to self-management. You know, when we teach the green team, in many ways, it is a top half in many cases, the way we start the green team. When you look at rule one of the green team, right, in order to build green, you must first be green. Okay, so that's going to speak to the self-awareness component, right? Can I show up how am I showing up each day for my team? How am I showing up for my teammates? How am I showing up for my coaches? How am I showing up for myself? Am I aware of my tendencies? Am I aware of what, you know, my personalities and my character traits and my behavior? When you're teaching rule one of the green team, you are speaking to self-awareness, right? When you look at some of the other exercises within our curriculum, software update, things of that nature, these are self-awareness tools, toiletry kit, et cetera, that is designed to help get our players to begin looking internally at how they are showing up, how can they improve the various things. And even just when you know, you think about our ability to, you know, have a six who hopefully can pour into you, right? Hopefully that will help you become more self-aware as you kind of look at, you know, allowing someone to pour into you. Now that's tough, right? And we were texting this morning, Kyle, in our little lead them up team chat here. And there was a quote that I had read yesterday, which is really hard. And it hits. And it talks about, you know, this need to be self-aware and how we struggle with that oftentimes. And the quote is, it's hard to keep your ears. This is in light of, by the way, of self-awareness and allowing others to give you instruction and feedback to help you become more self-aware. It says, it's hard to keep your ears open when your ego benefits from keeping them closed. Oh my goodness. Like that just hit me. Like, and that's why I had to share with you guys this morning. Like, it's hard to keep your ears open when your ego benefits from keeping them closed. See, we are going to struggle in our emotional intelligence if we can't get to the place of being self-aware. How do you become more self-aware? A variety of things, right? It has to become a more intentional focus. So it has to be part of your daily conversation to be evaluating. You need others to help you evaluate. You can read and research things about observing egos. Observing egos are a really fascinating way to become more self-aware. It's essentially when you've got a split brain, split mind, where you are acting and operating on one half while your other half is actually observing in real time your actual behaviors, and you're constantly assessing it. So it's an observing ego. It's almost like a secondary person in your own mind observing your behavior. There's a lot of nuance on the observing ego discussion, but you've got to be able to be self-aware. But then Kyle, rule two of the green team speaks to floaters, right? Says, if you're a floater, you're the lower of the two levels you float between. Now we start moving into management. So rule one of the green team is self-awareness. Now rule two starts managing. Listen, I understand you have these tendencies to float. I understand there may be days that could cause you to show up. Now we start working on the management. Can you manage that to show up more consistently? So you may not be thinking about the green team through the lens of emotional intelligence, but it is. You're speaking to it.
Right. And I think it's all about like guardrails. I mean, those two things is, you know, when you're leading yourself and you're talking about the awareness and really looking at like who you are, where you want to be, and then taking stock, like you said, like one part of your brain is observing where you're at. But after, you know, these things happen, is if you liked where you were at and you liked how you felt, is like what allowed me to be in that state? And maybe writing that down, taking a note. Or if you didn't like that, observing it, writing it down, taking note of it. And as we get to the management part of that is looking at to what guardrails do I need to have in place? What are some of the things that I need to do to protect like my mental state, my energy, my focus, my feelings, right? And we're so cognizant sometimes. And this was an example that I would always share with students in the classroom is we're so conscious if we're driving of what we put into our car. We're not just going to put anything, you know, that we want into it, but we're not really taking too much stock and inventory of what we're putting into our own mind. So who are we aligning ourselves with? What are the messages that we're hearing? What are the things that we're watching? Who do we associate with? Those things need to be a part of our management system because it's so cliche. And as a young person, you hear it said so often. And we say it as adults and coaches, but you become your surroundings. You are who you associate with. I mean, that can't be any more true. The further you go on in life, you realize how true that is. So again, for us to take inventory of that as a coach, then it allows us to share examples. And I think that helps our athletes is when we relate the personal stories of like, hey, I have to do this to make sure that I stay on the right track, that I stay in the green, I would encourage you to do the same things. So I think that can be a really good, you know, exercise for us is to take note of it, write it down, and make sure that it's aligning with where we want to be and how we want to feel.
And what comes to mind as you're talking there, Kyle, is also rule 6 of the green team. You got to fight every single day to build it, right? And
yeah, we share that with every team. It's so important.
And part of that fight is because it's not always easy for you to get into the green or i.e. manage oneself. So you really have to fight to get yourself in the green. I always joke, people don't accidentally wake up green. Like, oh my gosh, how did this happen? I'm amazing today. No, it doesn't just randomly happen. It happens by intentional acts or i.e. fighting or in this case, managing oneself. It's why one of my athletes, I spotlight her all the time. You know, she spends 5 minutes in her car in relative silence before she steps in the locker room. So after school, she goes to her car. She has some me time, some quiet time in her car before she steps in with her team. I said, why do you do that? She said, because school can be annoying. School can be challenging. It can be frustrating. I can have distractions. In the reality, if I just go right from school and just make my way down in the locker room, I'm bringing all of that with me. Okay. And I'm going to probably not be at my best from my team. That is the top half of emotional intelligence being demonstrated at the highest of levels. She is aware that she has distractions. She can be annoyed. She can be frustrated. She can get caught up in some drama during the day. She's aware that she may not be at her best. And then she is taking 5 minutes of quiet reflection time before she steps in to manage oneself, right? So then she can show up greater for her team. That is the top half of the emotional intelligence quadrant. She is nailing it. You also think, if you've seen us kind of tagline this phrase, when we teach the green team about, you know, obviously there's a 6-word mission statement of sorts, right? We want to remove red, sway gray, and build green. But then there's a 4-part word for our phrase, be green, build green. The reality is be green speaks to the top half of the emotional intelligence quadrant, because that's about oneself. Build green speaks to the bottom half of the-
You are what you do.
Right. About the bottom half of the emotional intelligence, because it's about others. Right. So be green. This is what we're tackling here in this first part. Can you be aware of your tendencies, of your triggers, of the way you show up each day. You do that through a variety of different ways. One, being more intentional and thought for yourself, allowing others to pour into you, observing your behaviors daily and in the moment through your observing ego. So constantly, like, you know, I always say, judge yourself as you oftentimes judge others, not in a critical sense, but in a self-awareness, just trying to gain understanding. How am I feeling right now? What's going through my mind right now? Am I at my best right now? I always say this for the floating dynamic of the green team, which many of us are, we're floaters, right? One of the encouragement pieces of that is if you are a floater and you float, one day you're green, one day you're gray, one moment you're green, one day you're red. Like, you know, if you've got this tendency to float, be reminded, some encouragement is that you know how to be green because you do it some days. Your only challenge is managing the consistency part. Okay. So you take a record of what allows you to be at your best, right? What causes you to have your green days, and then pay attention to the clues that those green days give you. Oh, well, it's sleep. Oh, it's when I don't get caught up in this. It's whatever the case may be. Repeat the good days and start reducing the bad days. We've got to be self-aware. We've got to be able to manage, you know, and I mean, a lot of this other stuff that we're talking about, like when we talk about mixing board, managing our, how we show up each day, being able to manage our mixing board between energy and focus and being able to dial in. I mean, all of this, once again, we may not think about the term emotional intelligence, but look at everything we're teaching. Look at everything you're teaching in leadership development. It is really falling into one of those four quadrants. This is emotional intelligence that we are trying to develop within our players. It would benefit all of us to begin and continue to research just emotional intelligence as a whole, because this is essentially the core of what we're doing with our athletes.
This is Jason Barnes from Chick-fil-A, and this is your Leadership Nugget. Michael Jordan said, "My best skill was that I was coachable. I was a sponge and aggressive to learn." Being coachable is an essential skill everyone needs to possess. When we receive instruction, feedback, or correction, our job is to take what someone is giving us and use it to get better. When you are teaching other leaders or new and existing employees, ensure you start with the expectation that everyone needs to be coachable in order to learn. Be like Mike and be a sponge. Soak up what you are being taught. Always be willing to learn and get better. When you get better, everyone around you gets better. Now, let's jump back into the episode.
So, self-awareness, self-management, about the self first. And, you know, leadership's not about you, but it starts with you, a very common quote that we use in our program. Mm-hmm. But then once we get ourselves to the place where we can manage our, you know, that we're leading ourselves well, then it moves to the bottom half of the quadrant, social awareness and relationship management. Now, social awareness and relationship management. Social awareness, being very in tune to the social dynamics in the room, the social dynamics surrounding others, paying attention to timing, location, the temperature of the room. These are the buzzwords that you always hear where you say things like, you know, being able to keep your finger on the pulse of the team, being able to just know the time and the place, being able to kind of gauge the temperature in the room. All these speak to social awareness. What comes to mind for you?
Yeah, it's your ability, as you said, to know the time and the place. So for great teammates, those that are leaders, it's how to push the right buttons. For coaches, it's knowing when is the right time to address a certain topic with a player and how you position it, how you phrase it, the language that needs to be used. So social awareness is all about knowing the timing, the setting, the language, the background. It's really just how to relate to another person. And a lot of that comes through just like the lens and the view of the empathetic language and how we're able to share that and help other people out with whatever difficulties they might be going through and how we get them up to the next level.
And we all know people that do it wrong and that always get it wrong. I think about the metaphor of the uncle at Thanksgiving, right? Always says the wrong thing at the wrong time. It's like, read the room.
Exactly. Read the room.
And they just can't. They're so oblivious to the social dynamics. Two exercises we teach and lead them up specifically come to mind about social awareness. One, lifeguarding.
Mm-hmm.
Lifeguarding is social awareness. We teach about scanning the room, right? Looking for warning signs, paying close attention to what is happening around us, like a lifeguard at a pool that is constantly surveying the scene, being aware of the situation, paying attention to noises and alerts and warning signs and all those little indicators. Lifeguarding is literally the breakdown of social awareness.
Learning, right? Learning when to assess versus learning when to act. That's a big thing for our athletes. And that is all social awareness.
That is right. Like I see that situation. I see my teammate going through that, but is this a big deal? Is this not a big deal? Should I address it or should I just keep an eye on it? Right. Should I assess or should I act? Right. It's going in and paying attention to little signs like Mono Watsa at PGC always talks about uptones, right? Mm-hmm. Uptones. What's an uptone? It is an upward trajectory or an upward affliction in one's voice that generates momentum upward in a greeting. So, for example, I say, "Hey, Kyle, how you doing?" And you reply back, "Oh man, I'm doing good. Thanks for asking." Uptone. Whereas maybe I say, "Hey, Kyle, how you doing?" And the opposite is the downtone. He goes, "I'm doing okay." And it's almost like we're leading you down, right? That's an example of social awareness where, you know what? Hey, I greeted so-and-so today. And I noticed when I greeted her, she gave me a downtone, which is different than what she normally does. Normally, she always greets me with an uptone, but today this downtone. Now it could be nothing, Kyle. She could just be going, having a moment, having a day, no big deal. Or it could be an indicator that something's off. I'm going to just be very alert and aware. Hey, that player over there, it's really fascinating. Every day after practice, when everyone kind of hangs out for a few minutes as they're packing up their bags, he or she's always just interacting, having fun. But I noticed today they packed up their bags quickly and shot out. Didn't say a word. It could be nothing. Maybe they have to go somewhere.
Right.
Maybe they have to get home by 6 o'clock. Or maybe it's a sign that something's off. I'm going to pay attention to that, right?
All right, we got to put it on the radar.
I see so-and-so's body language. I noticed that. Socially aware, I paid attention. Their body language is a little off. You know, this person rolled their eyes at a teammate when their teammate tried to help them. Normally, she's so coachable. Wow, I'm going to pay attention to that. Being very cognizant of what is happening around us.
Right. And that goes back to, like you said, how is this all interconnected? That goes back to like the ego, right? You can't be aware. You can't be conscious of others unless you're first good with yourself. So you've got to get quadrant one and two right before you can step out and get into quadrant three and four. It's all a part of emotional intelligence, but I'm not going to be looking out for somebody else if I'm wrong. And I got to make sure that I'm right first.
Well, I think in many cases the hope there is that difficult to get to the place of looking for others. Well, let me put it like this. It's unhealthy for you to get to the place where you're looking at others if you're not willing to look at yourself first. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where the disconnect is. A lot of times people skip over maybe the early quadrants and go right to trying to manage other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And all of a sudden they're coming at it from a place where they're being hypocritical or they're inconsistent because they can't demonstrate it themselves. So it's almost why the progression has to go in the order that it does, right? Like, you know, I can't ask others to be green if I'm not trying to get myself green.
You're a hypocrite, and now people aren't going to pay attention.
Yeah, you lose credibility in many ways. So it's this quadrant. So that once again, self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, then we jump into relationship. Or let me say one other thing with social awareness. Another one that we teach is the guardrails and sugar and salt.
Yeah.
Okay. That's when so you look important. At guardrails of sugar and salt, you look at timing, you look at frequency of conversation, you look at proximity of others, you look at the last one, the relationship. I mean, look at timing, frequency, and proximity of others, those guardrails, the things we need to consider in our communication with others as we evaluate sugar and salt. Are you kidding me? Timing, proximity of others. This is 100% social awareness, being aware that, you know what? Hey, you know what? I do need to address this player, but man, they had a rough game last night, followed by a, you know, I heard they were struggling with some schoolwork today. You know, and maybe now's not the time. It doesn't mean it can never not be addressed, but maybe now's not the time, you know, or, you know, I need to address this, but some of the teammates are around. Maybe now's not the time to bring it up to that person. Why don't I wait till it's a one-on-one conversation? Okay.
Exactly.
Being aware of some social dynamics, the awareness of what's happening in a bigger picture, zooming out to be aware. So you then kind of approach it at the right time. And then the last though lands into a relationship management. Because when you think about social awareness, if I'm in tune to the surroundings, if I'm paying attention to the timing, if I'm paying attention to, you know, are others around, if I'm paying attention to body language and paying attention to all these indicators and signs, that is going to help me then, Kyle, better manage the relationship.
Right. You have to have the guardrails in place if you're going to manage the relationship. And that's the most important thing, again, is the people component of it. So that may be quadrant four, and you look at it like it's maybe the least important, but it's one of the most important things. We're dealing with people. And if you're going to deal with people, you've got to be able to navigate and have those other guardrails in place. So it's essential for having a strong relationship and one that's both open to receiving the feedback and giving the feedback.
So if you go down the quadrant sequence here, and let's take a hypothetical situation, okay? So I have a teammate that loses their cool during a game, okay? It is a intense situation, and they engage in some behaviors during the game that was completely unacceptable. And I need to address this individual. Well, I've got to be aware of some things. So first, I've got to be aware, like, how am I feeling in this moment? Okay. Right. Like, let me evaluate myself, because I need to make sure I'm also in a good place to have this conversation. And you know what? I may be worked up also. And if I'm worked up also, maybe I need to manage myself and show some discipline. And maybe now's not the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Maybe now's not the time because of where I currently at. I can feel my emotions elevated within me. I don't know if I would deliver it in the right way. So I need to manage myself. So you know what? I'm going to take a moment and take a breath. So now I'm over here. I'm aware that I need to address you, Kyle. You're my teammate, we'll say, okay? You just kind of flipped out. You had a moment. It was unacceptable. You got personal fouls. You got this and that. It was a big scene on the field, right? Everyone's all worked up. So, all right. So then I now need to address you, but I need to be emotional. I want to be emotionally intelligent because I want it to be helpful and productive. All right. But right now I'm noticing within me, my emotions are high. My emotions are high. It's elevated. And I don't think if I deliver a conversation right now, like, it would be the best. So I need to manage myself and say, you know what, Adam? Hey, don't say anything right now. take a moment, get yourself under control, get yourself in a good mental state, because right now the situation is hot, i.e. social awareness. Mm-hmm. Situation is hot. I'm looking around it. There's just a lot going on. It's an intense and emotionally elevated kind of moment. So that's me paying attention to the social awareness. So because of where I'm at, self-awareness, I want to manage myself because the social dynamic tells me there's a lot going on right now. And if I do those three things right, I think I'll be able to better manage the relationship. I think when I actually get around to finally leading you and having that conversation, Kyle, I think it'll be better if I hold off for this moment, paying attention to self-awareness, self-management, the social dynamic. It will then in turn help me manage the relationship better. But the flip side is also in play here, right? I'm hot right now, but I'm ignoring it. I don't even notice it. I'm so blinded to my own tendencies. I'm so blinded to my own emotion. I'm so closed off to being self-aware. And as a result, I'm not even concerned with managing myself right now, right? Because I have no restraint, no control, right? I just, when I think it, I do. When I feel it, I act, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm going to ignore all the social dynamics. Clearly, the timing's not right. Clearly, you're in an emotional state that's elevated. There's other people around. I'm not concerned about any of those social dynamics. I'm just going to go let it happen. I'm just going to go and address it to you. And I go and speak to you. And I'm like, what are you doing, Kyle? This is unacceptable. Now you start yelling back at me. And now all of a sudden we're in this tense situation. And because of the fact that I lack self-awareness and I could not manage my emotions, I ignored all the social dynamics. I then delivered the message, and in turn, I damage the relationship because now you and I are yelling at each other. Nothing good is happening. It's chaos. There's no productivity in our conversation. We probably have to come back after the fact and clean up some damage control, right? Hey, sorry about earlier, you know, things of that, because I just wasn't emotionally intelligent. I did not perform well in my emotional intelligence. I lacked self-awareness. I showed no desire to manage oneself. I ignored all the social dynamics, and as a result, the relationship suffered.
A lot suffered. Yeah. I mean, in that moment, it's kind of, you know, we think about like keyboard warriors in our culture and our society today, and just how quick people are to, you know, that's like the verbal vomit. They just get it out. And when you do that, you immediately feel better. But then on the other side, everyone else around you now feels sick for having seen it or looked at it. And like, I don't know this woman, but the other day, here's a perfect example of it. I was at a local high school, and one of the groups that I'm working with in town, they do mentorship for our high school students. And so I met with the first time with the student that I'm going to mentor. And as I'm leaving, there's a parent, there's a mom that's at the front office. And she wants to see her son and get him out of school or whatever. And she's like, you know, in this verbal tirade with someone working the front desk. And she clearly feels that she's in the right. And she's, you know, not so eloquently stating her position, but doing so very authoritatively and demonstratively. And everyone else around her, you can see, is just like, what is going on here? Like, this girl's crazy. But you know, in her mind, she's got the blinders on. Like, she's in that moment of sharing that, not aware of anything else that's going around. You know, not aware of how the inability to manage herself in that situation plays a role now in the perception of her by other people. Mm-hmm. and how that, whoever comes in response to that. So there's a lot, there's so much to that. There's so much dynamics that goes involved with the relationship there and just how we show up and how we communicate it first off.
Yeah. You know, I think about one of the worst phrases from an emotional intelligence standpoint is like, I just need to get this off my chest. People that just like, they just feel the need to just get it off my chest, and they go and they just spew it out of sorts. They're basically acknowledging when they say like, I just need to get off my chest, and that like, I needed to say it. You know, I needed to let them hear it. I needed them to know how I felt. They're basically saying, I am ignoring all emotional intelligence rules right now, and I'm just going to say it because I need them to hear it.
It's like someone leading with all due respect. And then they kind of preface it with that, knowing what they're about to say is probably going to be offensive. But I said, with all due respect.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's just like they're annoying. You know, one other thing it's important to remind our players when, as we continue to like unpack this conversation here about emotional intelligence, for our players, the first half of the quadrant, the self-awareness, self-management, their own inner emotions are almost always communicated through their body language.
Yeah.
It's where emotions on the self-awareness, self-management side usually get communicated first. We wear it on our sleeves. Our emotions come through our body language. And that is also why you've got to be very conscious of the self-awareness, self-management, because it will come out that way. And as I always tell players from a body language standpoint, our bodies will say things our mouths never would, right? We would never say the things oftentimes that our body ends up communicating by way of, you know, just the way we're responding, our expressions, our positioning, our posture, things of that nature. And just being aware of that, I think that's one of the areas, if you are speaking body language, but this emotional intelligence conversation plays into that category as well, right? Self-awareness, self-management. Can you manage essentially your body? And I always say, if you don't tell your body what to say, once again, it'll say things you don't agree with most of the time, which is why you have to, in order to manage your body language well, you have to be intentional to tell it the message you want it to convey. You have to literally be so overly intentional that you walk in the room, you have to say, hey, I'm going to show up this way. I'm going to lean in to the edge of my seat. I'm going to sit this way. I'm going to be engaged. You have to tell it what to do. Otherwise, it'll say something you don't want to say. But anyways, I mean, there's so much. Emotional intelligence is the lifelong journey of developing as a leader. It is a lifelong journey. Nobody ever figures it out. It'll be ongoing forever. You will forever be working on self-awareness and self-management. You will forever be working on being able to read the room and the temperature, engage others and the social awareness. And you'll always be working on trying to better manage the relationship. It is a lifelong journey through the lens of emotional intelligence. But once again, I believe most coaches haven't unpacked it through those four quadrants, through the actual lens of emotional intelligence. But the reality is, you've been working on it. You've been working on it on yourself. You've been working on it on your team. I just think it sometimes provides extra clarity when you can put words to the things you're doing, when you put language to the things you're teaching. I think it just helps us gain greater understanding. And
that, well, just to share real quickly, this past weekend, I was up with Lourdes University in Ohio. And that's one of the things that they stressed. And one of the things that the coach was talking about as we worked through a lot of these topics is like, we have the language now. And I think that for coaches listening, this is the thing that really helps kids and helps our athletes, no matter whether it's, you know, middle school, high school, collegiate level, is a lot of the times we talk about these topics and what to do, but we lack the language, or we lack like the resources to be able to teach it in a way or to have it stick. And when we really lean into these concepts and utilize the power of the language, it becomes so much easier for the athletes themselves to now live it out, because it's not something that's like meta, philosophical, big overarching things. Like, it can all be brought in with the power of the phrase. So that's where we really need to kind of, you know, continue to lean into the language and have that be something that really permeates the entire culture.
You nailed it, man. You nailed it. Emotional intelligence, fun kind of introductory conversation today. Appreciate you tuning in. And maybe this challenged you to kind of dig a little deeper into the themes of emotional intelligence and maybe giving you some language to connect some of the things you're teaching through Lead 'Em Up, through the emotional intelligence lens. I think the other thing I love telling, last thing I'll say is, I love telling my players when I talk on emotional intelligence, I just remind them that like the things we're working on, man, this is high level stuff. It's high level stuff, right? You know, as I alluded to at the beginning, teaching at Towson, you know, I'm teaching C-suite, I'm teaching high, you know, executives that we're working on emotional intelligence. But guess what? In the high school level or college level, you know, through Lead 'Em Up, you're working on the same stuff. You're working on the same stuff, right? You're working on your self-awareness and being able to manage oneself. You're working on being able to really be in tune to the social and the relationship. This is high level stuff, right? We've just tried to put some simplified language on it, but don't get it twisted, right? This is stuff that's going to help you now and help you forever.
For the rest of your life.
You are getting a head start. You are gaining an advantage. Be aware of that. And oh man, I try to emphasize that so much, but
same.
Anyways, yeah, let us know, you know, let us know if you found value in today's episode, any additional thoughts you may have had in light of today's episode. As always, we appreciate you listening. On behalf of the entire Lead 'Em Up team, I am Adam. He is Kyle. Until next time, have fun and lead 'em up.